Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. Episode number 51. Hello again, everyone. My name is Tom Brussell, and thank you so much for joining us. If you're a first-timer or a long-timer, either way, we're glad you're with us, and I'm glad you found us. Sitting in with me, as he does every episode, is technical specialist Kenny Nicholson. Kenny, what's happening?
Not much, Tom. How are you doing today?
Been a wild couple of weeks, especially as some of the senior market came to play, one of them at least in the British Open, that being Mr. Tom Watson.
Yeah, that was an incredible run for Tom. You know, hated to see what happened to him on 18, but that's golf. You got to be able to get the ball in the hole, and then unfortunately for him, he had to go to a playoff, and I don't know if, you know, he was a little bit tired or what have you, but it was an absolutely incredible run for him, and good for Stuart Sink, too. I mean, here's another good guy on tour that glad he got his first major, well-deserved.
Yeah, Stuart's worked hard, and he's almost forgotten in this whole thing is what he did on 18 to get in the playoff and to end up beating Tom Watson, but great playing by Stuart Sink. But the thing we'll all remember, I think, from the 2009 British Open is a 59-year-old 320-day-year-old or something like that year-old man competing to win.
Yeah, I mean, the guy had it in the bag, you know, and it was just an incredible run. You know, something that I don't know that anybody had Tom in your office pool, even though he had five British Opens going into that, five or six, and, you know, still at 59 years old playing against the best players in the world that are – a lot of them are way less than half his age. But it was a great run, incredible to watch.
These in-studio interviews are getting more and more popular, and we have somebody in studio, another person that's welcome from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, we're glad to have people in the studio with us. Today is Mr. Jim Grunberg, the owner and managing partner for Seymour Putters, and couldn't be happier to have him in here with us.
Jim, thanks for joining us.
No, it's fun to be down here. Absolutely beautiful Fort Walton Beach.
Hey, tell us the story about Seymour Putters. You and I were talking earlier about 1999 and what a special that open that was with Payne Stewart. Talk about that.
Well, you know, that was really when Seymour was on, you know, first became noticed as a brand that, you know, people started taking notice of. I mean, Seymour was probably the one in a million story of the small sort of garage, you know, basement invention product that breaks through. It was a fellow named Jim Weeks and his brother Mark Weeks had invented this product called the Seymour Putter, and they really was very regional, but they had a great technology, and the technology involved a simple alignment system on the top of a putter, two white lines and a red dot, and it used the shaft in an alignment system so the golfer would know that he or she were square to their intended target line. The putter was not open, it wasn't closed, and the loft was controlled.
Hence the name Seymour, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we really haven't gotten a great explanation for where the name came up with. It's a very simple name, Seymour, but it's grown on us. So the Weeks took the product out, and they started seeding it with some local players in Northern California, and they had a few guys take it out on tour and show some players. And the most notable player that ended up putting it in his bag was Payne Stewart. And Payne Stewart, of course, had lost a devastating U.S. Open in 98. At the Olympic Club. Lee Jansen won that. And heading into 99, I think Payne Stewart hadn't won in about 4 or 5 years on tour. And he felt like he'd made some bad decisions as far as his equipment deals were concerned. And so if you do the research, you'll know that he went into the 99 season with no club deals. Okay? He wanted to have 14 clubs that he felt were the absolute best clubs for him, regardless of any sponsorship opportunities. And so the really cool thing is that he went out and tested every club, and he found a Seymour putter, and he felt like this putter really allowed him to have confidence that he was set up the same way at address each and every time. And he went on to actually not just win twice on tour, but to win the U.S. Open at Pinehurst in what is still regarded as the greatest putting performance in the history of golf.
You know, you're exactly right. Back in the day, those days, you didn't notice so much what Payne was, what he was playing. You noticed more what he was wearing. Like you said, probably the best putting performance in the history of the U.S. Open.
Yeah, and you know, he was a guy that traditionally had used an offset putter, and yet when he started working with the Seymour putter, he set it down, and it took him a few minutes to get the hang of it. It didn't have any offset. It just went straight in. But he realized, you know, he could be confident on each and every putt that his hands were set in the same place. He said he really battled with a forward press, and he said the problem with his forward press was is that from putt to putt, not just hole to hole and day to day, but putt to putt, he felt like that forward press was changing. And every time it changed, he knew it changed the loft of his putter, it was going to change the stroke, and it was going to change the roll of the ball. And so what the Seymour putter did is it brought his hands back to a more neutral position where he felt like he could just basically take that little slight rotation with his shoulders and hit the putt the same way every time.
I remember earlier in his career with the bullseye putter, he was putting extremely upright, almost over the ball. And then later on, like you said, with the offset putter, hands were way low and he was fighting that forward press.
Yeah, and I think – so again, it's not to say that he hadn't had some experiences early in his career where he, you know, had flashes of brilliance. But I think we've talked to Mike Hicks, who was his caddy for many, many years. And Mike told us about the metamorphosis, how Payne really became a great putter once he put that Seymour putter in play, because he felt like he then had a chance to win every week that he teed it up. Whereas before, what Mike said is that Payne felt like, you know, the only chance he was going to have to win is if – he had one of those four magical putting weeks that he knew he was going to have tied in with one of the four good ball striking weeks that he was going to have. So he felt like he went from being a player that only had a chance to win maybe four or five times a season to actually being able to win every time he teed it up once he got the putting down to a consistent science.
Well, it's obviously not the only major victory Seymour putters had.
No, that's exactly right, because, you know, what happened then is that, you know, after the absolute untimely, tragic accident that Payne had, the brand pretty much went away for 3 or 4 years. It was a small company, and the guys that owned it at the time just didn't know how to deal with that tragedy. So from a marketing perspective, the Seymour putter, it had gotten out there. The word was out. There were a lot of players that believed in it. A couple of those players were a couple of young guys on the mini development tours named Zach Johnson and Vaughn Taylor, who had put it in play back in the Hooters tour because they felt like Payne Stewart was a guy they wanted to emulate. And lo and behold, when my partner and I bought the company back in 2006, you know, one of the things that attracted us to purchasing this brand was we felt like the technology was visibly different. We felt it was validated. And we looked at guys like Zach Johnson and said, wow, here's a guy he's gone through equipment contracts out on tour and yet year in and year out kept showing up with a Seymour putter.
Yeah, correct. The thing that's so unique, though, about the Seymour putter line, if you look at all the other club categories out there, a lot of the technology is the same, whether it's material or weighting or interchangeable shafts and things like that. But with Seymour putter, it's in a family of putter products that gives it a little bit of an advantage, I would say, because it's almost like a training aid built into the putter at the same time, the way that it works. It's kind of hard to explain to the listener over their iPod or what have you. But if you go to Seymour.com, you'll see what we're talking about. The way that the shaft is painted black at the bottom of the shaft and you have this red spot on the back of the heel of the putter that actually, whenever you don't see red, you actually know that you have the putter lined up completely square. And for a lot of people, you know, getting the putter squared address sometimes for your medium to higher handicap players can be a disadvantage for some. With this putter, it actually helps you get the putter to square and gives you confidence that you're lined up correctly. So I think it gives you guys a huge advantage.
Well, no, you're right, Kenny. And I think so to get back to Zach, I mean, there's a guy who basically, you know, kind of came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, 4 months after we buy the company, he wins the Masters in another great final round putting performance. It's funny when you look back right now at 2007, a lot of people said, you know, Augusta National's gotten too difficult. It's more like a U.S. Open track. There's no birdies on Sundays. But, you know, that's not really correct because Zach Johnson made 6 birdies on that Sunday in 2007 to pull away from the field and win that Masters. So, you know, he did it in part because he was very, very confident and comfortable in his putting. And people asked him, you know, what's Zach Johnson all about? And aside from the fact that he's sort of a normal average guy, he built his golf game around systems. And he told people at that time that whether it was his long game or his putting game, one of the things that he strongly believed in was systems. And as you said, that's why Seymour is so unique. The technology allows the golfer to actually gradually improve over time by using this product and understanding what it can do to give them the feedback, take more accountability. I mean, there's no simple – it's not going to help you on, you know, on bad strokes. What it's going to do is it's going to help you understand what a good stroke is and have you make more of them more consistently.
Jim Grunberg, the owner and managing general partner of Seymour Putters. Jim, obviously there's more than one putter nowadays. I mean, more in the line, talk about the family of Seymour Putters.
Yeah, no, that's great. And one of the things that, you know, when we did acquire the company, we knew that golfers – even if they believed that the technology, what we call rifle scope technology, the two white lines and the red dot, even if they believed that rifle scope technology was something that could help them, they hadn't seen a lot of new product development from Seymour in a long, long time. And, you know, it pretty much had, you know, it was one size fits all. And then since 2006, one of the things we've done is we have invested a lot of time and energy and expense into creating a full line of product. All of them do share the same fundamental technology. But if you look at our product line now, we feel we have very good something for everyone's story, different price points, different materials, some fully milled, some partially milled, some cast then milled. But in general, we have a much wider variety of options now because, you know, golfers first and foremost want to look down at something and feel like it's something that's visually comforting, visually pleasing. And so now one thing we have found is that a lot more golfers will take a look at Seymour and say, wow, I always wanted to try that technology. Now I see a putter there that appeals to me that I can try it in.
Jim, you mentioned the rifle scope technology and how the putter helps, like you say, helps you know what a good and bad stroke is. Talk about how that can help your game.
Well, there's two ways that I think the Seymour putter can help improve your game. The first and most fundamental way is that when you set the product down, you're going to set it down in a very hands-neutral position. You're going to have your eyes over the heel of the putter, and you're going to block out the red dot. You're going to see two white lines on either side of the shaft. The shaft is visible in that its bottom 8 inches of the shaft is black, and so that helps provide the contrast to the two white lines. So that's why we call it rifle scope, very much in the way you'd line up a gun and see a gun sight. You've got it there. And so, you know, that's the first and foremost major benefit of the product is that you know you're set it in the same place every time. But beyond that, if you think about it, and you know, there's been a debate over, you know, arc putting versus straight back and straight through. And, you know, in reality, great putters will putt maybe straight back and straight through on a very fast short putt where the putter is going to stay within about a 6-inch zone. But as you start to get to longer putts, your body's turning on an arc and it's turning on a radius. And so the idea of a pure straight back and straight through is really, you're not going to find that on tour. If you watch tour players, what you'll see is as they start to have longer strokes for the longer putts, that putter has to arc slightly. And so our putter, one thing that it will do is if you're practicing your putting, you can actually stop your putter on its way back and after the ball is struck on the release and freeze the putter at any point in time and in a perfect natural arc putting stroke, you will never see red. And so that's one of the ways that the putter can give you feedback to help, you know, improve your putting more on the training aid side of things. You're not going to be doing that once you're actually out playing a round of golf, but you can step back at the putting green and now you actually have something that you know you can work on in practice.
Before that, it was just setting tees in the ground maybe or a putter or another club just to get the line, correct?
Yeah, no question about it. And one of the cool things about my job is I'm out on the tour a lot on Tuesdays and I see some of the best putters in the world practicing. And it's interesting because one of the things that the great putters all do is they practice that straight 5-foot putt a lot. Tiger Woods, Zach Johnson, a lot of the guys that you'd see out there that you'd say, wow, what a great putter. And I do notice that those types of practice habits, I think the average golfer can really pick up from as well. Because if you can make a straight 5-foot putt, okay, with consistency, well, then even the long putts, you know, you can go after them trying to make your birdies. And if it rolls by 3, 4, 5 feet, I mean, you've seen you know the through line, so you know where you got to hit it coming back. And so, you know, the great putters tend to really, really work on just hammering home the fact that they can make that 5-foot putt when they know where the break is.
Yeah, you see it on tour all the time. Guys, you know, don't just lag putts. They knock it 2, 3, 4 feet past the hole. I use Tiger and Phil as an example. I mean, they never just lag a putt up there a couple inches past the hole. They're always knocking it by a couple of feet, and they have complete confidence they're going to be able to make it coming back. So as far as the future, where do you see Seymour putters going?
Well, one of the benefits of being so small and not being a huge advertising or marketing brand, a lot of our a lot of the awareness of our brand has come through word of mouth. And so, you know, there's still many, many serious and avid players out there that I think could benefit from our technology that are still learning about it. So I think for now we're very, very content to just continue to let people become aware of our technology through trial, through great associations like we have with Edwin Watts in the stores. And you know, people want to go out and try new products. And I think for a lot of players, our technology is brand new. They haven't tried it before. And as you said, Kenny, it is different. A lot of products out there in other categories have great technologies, but there's often something that's very substitutable in another brand, in another brand, in another brand. Whereas with our product, you know, our patent is very strong and there really aren't any, you know, clear substitutes. And so you know, we think that people are still discovering our brand every day, and we want to be seen right now as what we are, which is a very focused putter company that's focused on game improvement. And even though we've become so associated with great major victories with Payne Stewart, with Zach Johnson, the reality is our rifle scope technology works even better, you know, for the average player, for the weekend golfer, even for the serious club player that maybe only can play a couple times a week, because that's when you really, when you set up on Saturday and you stand over that first putt, if you've got something that gives you confidence that you can all of a sudden, now you know your line, you can pick your line and your speed, and you know you're set up the same way every time, they benefit even more.
Yeah, the cool thing is how many products out there are actually USGA approved that are basically a training aid. I mean, this putter, you can practice with it on the putting green, and it's, to me, it's like a training aid, but it's something that you can also take out on the course with you as well.
Yeah, and you're exactly right, and I think it's a training aid that you shouldn't be. It's a training aid in the most positive sense, in that when I look at a lot of technologies out there, even in the putter side of things, you know, I see a lot of people talking about technologies that are there to mask a flaw in the stroke, okay? You know, and if you talk about high MOI and you talk about some of this other stuff, it's great. And there's some players out there that are doing very, very well with it. But the one thing is, when you look at great players when it comes to putting, you know, the super, super high MOI sometimes, in our opinion, can be a short-term benefit, but a long-term, it doesn't necessarily help the golfer go back and improve their stroke. And that's the really cool thing about Seymour technology is, you know, the accountability is back on you. We're not doing anything to help you on off-center hits. There's very little forgiveness other than the feedback that it gives you to actually make you a better putter.
The full line of Seymour putters available at edwinwatsgolf.com or visit a local Edwin Watts store, right?
Exactly. We've got we're very, very confident that at each and every Edwin Watts store, there's some very, very well-trained associates out there that would love to show the golfer how to use a Seymour putter.
And you mentioned beforehand, you're kind enough that a lucky listener is going to get a chance to win one, right?
Absolutely. We'd love to give you one of our new FGP stainless blades. That's the same blade that Zach actually started using at the beginning of this year, and has, you know, shot a 60 already in competition at the Texas Open and won that tournament. And so he's using the FGP stainless black, and that's the one that we'll donate.
That's great. Jim, in closing, anything you'd like to add?
No, again, it's really a pleasure to come on here and talk about putting. And, you know, the coolest thing about putting is that I think it's the one maybe frontier in golf game improvement that more and more players are starting to look at. And Kenny mentioned it earlier. You know, there's a lot of shots that can be saved by a golfer going out with a new and improved putter and putting system. And we hope that they'll take a look at Seymour.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for joining us. Really enjoyed you being here today.
Great. All great right. Being here.
Kenny, it is always nice when we have something to give away to the lucky listeners. Why don't you tell them how to register again?
Yeah, just go to edwinwattsgolf.com and click on the Golf Better icon on the left-hand side of the page, and you'll see a register to win button there. And we've got a Seymour putter that we're going to be giving away to a lucky listener.
The Zach Johnson model, the exact model Zach Johnson's using.
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrific product. I mean, if you've never seen it or heard about it or what have you, trust me, this is something that will definitely help you out on the golf course. And, you know, don't forget to get on there and register and try to win one.
Well, now's the fun time. We get to say who wins something. And two episodes ago, episode number 49, Tom Manthey was gracious enough to give us not only one pair, but two pairs, a pair of men's and a pair of women's Adidas shoes. And our lucky winners today are
Mr. Tony Pico from Morrodale, New Jersey, has won the men's pair of shoes. Or actually, if he wants to get a pair for a significant other, we can also do it in ladies. And then also Mrs. Diane Allen from Gurney, Illinois.
Tony and Diane, congratulations. We'll be getting in touch with you to get those sizes and get those shoes shipped to you straight from Adidas. But thanks again to Adidas for doing that. And, Kenny, thank you again for sitting in another episode.
Yeah, I always enjoy it. Thanks a million, Tom.
And on behalf of everyone here at Edwin Watts Golf, thank you so much for listening. Join us back in a couple weeks when we'll have another exciting episode of Golf Better at edwinwattsgolf.com. So long, everybody.